It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
The city of Boston rallying together overnight after a tense shootout, just heard there in a quiet suburb. Police were called to the scene after some kind of fight between two male roommates. When they got to the house, the unnamed 33-year-old suspect had an assault rifle, a ballistic vest, and unleashed that is a fury of bullets, striking two veteran officers. The standoff putting an entire neighborhood on mandatory lockdown. The shocking scene playing out in brand new video, vivid police audio. Listen to this.
We got shots fired. I need every officer available to make their way. 136 Gladstone Street.
Multiple shots.
Guys, get us a f***ing ammo down here now.
Okay, they're pushing, sir.
The two officers are in surgery right now after both being shot multiple times. One has been on the force for 12 years, we're told, the other for nearly three decades. The police commissioner now thanking the fellow brothers there in blue for their heroic life-saving actions.
Yes, so I wanted to start the show with that because I always feel that life trumps all of the things we're discussing. Sandy Rios, or the loss of it. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk, you know, two more policemen down in Boston. And it sort of redirects our thinking. We are listening to all of this tabloid stuff on both sides of the aisle in this very crucial presidential election while real people's lives are going to be affected and lost. Depending on the decision that we make in this election. So our hearts go out to those policemen in Boston. We don't know what is going to happen, if they're going to live or die. And we don't know much more about what, I don't know, since I went on the air here, anything more than what you just heard. But we'll be listening for that today. The WikiLeaks situation, where all of these email exchanges going back several years between John Podesta, if you don't know John Podesta's name, he is the brain trust at this point in time. He is at least the focal point. He's the head of Center for American Progress. He is the chief thinker. They have all of these leftist thinkers as part of the Center for American Progress, and they're the ones that do the thinking and plan everything for the left, whether it's the president or Hillary Clinton. They are constantly at work. They plan decades out. This is one of the things that we talk about here in Washington, is that the right, you know, sort of we respond to things. The left plans. Man, they've got it down in the weeds. They know what they're doing. The radical leftist gay movement planned everything that has developed in the last few years and last several years, 20 years, I'd say, including gay marriage. And I don't think they ever thought they would actually achieve what they set out to achieve as easily as they did, but they did. They planned it. I always say it was because people on the right actually believe in God. They don't believe in manipulating events and trying to manipulate friends and try to make events happen. They believe in something beyond this life. The left doesn't believe in anything beyond this life. So whatever happens here is what happens. This is kind of like as good as it ever gets for them. And the right doesn't feel that way. So somehow we have to, though, speaking as a person who's certainly part of, the right, I guess in terms of those that want to seek justice, that believe in God and believe in right and wrong, we have to get a little smarter. I have to say, we have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But now, these WikiLeaks email showing John Podesta's email over these several years of all, there are multitudes of revelations. This is probably one of the downsides because there are so many revelations and it is being so underreported. You know, what's being reported is a woman on a plane 30 years ago said that Donald Trump touched her. And she was next to him in a seat and he touched her. She's 70-something years old now and she never spoke about it then, but 30 years ago he did this. And so that's a big story. And a girl in Trump Tower says that, you know, it's all just, it's really, it's not good if he did these things, but it is really, in the light of all that's happening, not terribly important. Two policemen being shot in Boston, that's important. And, of course, the kind of selling of our government is extremely important. In fact, you're going to hear in just a few minutes the former Haitian Senate president. We're going to go to Haiti and talk to him because he's going to tell us about what the Clinton Foundation actually did in Haiti. They've taken a lot of credit and taken a lot of victory laps for all the humanitarian aid the Clinton Foundation did in Haiti. But what is the real story? Well, we're going to go to Haiti and find out in just a few minutes. And I think those are the important things we need to be discussing. But back to these WikiLeaks email from John Podesta. Mike Emanuel reports on one aspect of it last night where we get an insight into how what we already know, how the left feels about people of faith, but this kind of fleshes it out. Let's listen.
In battleground Colorado, Hillary Clinton pushed supporters to get out and register and to turn their ballots in early.
Don't be left out because we need you. And oh, by the way, if you've got friends in Utah or Arizona, make sure they vote too.
The Clinton campaign is facing new controversy with calls for communications director Jennifer Palmieri to resign. In an email exchange from 2011, Center for American Progress senior fellow John Halpin wrote to campaign chairman John Podesta mocking prominent media moguls for raising their children Catholic. Quote, they must be attracted to the systematic thought and severely backwards gender relations and must be totally unaware of Christian democracy, Halpin wrote. Podesta didn't respond, but Palmieri did, writing, quote, I imagine they think it is the most socially acceptable, politically conservative religion. Their rich friends wouldn't understand if they became evangelicals. Today on Clinton's plane, Palmieri was asked directly about this latest controversy.
I'm a Catholic. I don't recognize that email that we saw. And this whole effort is led by the Russians. We are not going to do any more to comment or aid their efforts.
This is yet another concern for Catholics with the Clinton campaign after her running mate, Tim Kaine, a Catholic, changed his public position on the Hyde Amendment, restricting the use of taxpayer dollars for abortion services. Catholics make up about 21% of the U.S. population and have significant representation in critical battleground states like Florida, Wisconsin, and Nevada. Today, the Trump-Pence ticket pounced.
These emails are just the latest evidence of the hatred that the Clinton campaign has for everyday faithful Americans.
Men and women of faith, I will tell you, this is a time for action, not essays. And we must roll our sleeves up and be prepared to fight every day for what we believe in.
You know, that's a report from Mike. I don't think Mike actually touched on the most egregious parts of these email because the email actually mock Rupert Murdoch and another executive for having their children baptized in the Jordan. And they talk about how ridiculous and how stupid that all is. But even further than that, to me, here's a conversation between John Podesta, again, the head of American Progress, who is, you know, Mrs. Clinton's right-hand think man, saying there needs to be a Catholic spring in which Catholics themselves demand the end of a Middle Ages dictatorship and the beginning of a little democracy and respect for gender equality in the Catholic Church. And so Newman, who's writing this to him, is Jewish and says, even if the idea isn't crazy, I don't qualify to be involved, and I've not thought at all about how one would plant the seeds of revolution or who would plant them. Then Podesta responds this way. And this ties into what we've been talking about. Remember, week before last, I told you about a letter in which Tim Wildman and I have signed and several Christian leaders across the country calling out the religious left for, and some evangelicals, for being bought off by the left, literally, with Soros money to pollute the message of the gospel and to cooperate with the political aims of the left. And let me tell you now, to go back to this, what John Podesta says, back to this Miss Newman. We created Catholics in Alliance for the Common Good to organize for a moment like this. But I think it lacks the leadership to do so now. Likewise, Catholics United. Like most spring movements, I think this one will have to be bottom up. So they have already created these fake Catholic groups. Are you listening, Catholics? This is what they're doing. This is what they're doing among evangelicals, too. The National Association of Evangelicals completely co-opted by the leadership of Richard Cizik, taking money from George Soros, the Hungarian atheist. Do I need to, you know, give his other monikers to you? I've mentioned his name enough. They're trying to buy off members of the body of Christ and to peel off, demonize, certainly the religious right. They've done that very well, actually, been very effective. And many evangelicals, some of the emerging church, some younger people who I find it's many pastors that are part of these community churches who don't have, you know, they have knowledge about a lot of things, but they don't have much understanding. It goes about a half inch down, their understanding of what's happening. They're trying to get people in their building, and so they want to say the right thing that appeals culturally. And this is what's happening. They are co-opting the church, but it's our fault for being co-opted. Should we not be wise as serpents and harmless as doves? Should we not be responsible for defending the faith? Should we not know, each of us, when we are being seduced into something else? And so, anyway, so that's part of the John Hinderaker writing on Powerline. I think he's Roman Catholic. And he's talking about the Murdoch and Robert Thompson, managing editor of the Wall Street Journal, are raising their kids Catholic. I can't say this word. Blanking Murdoch baptized his kids in Jordan, where John the Baptist baptized Jesus. Many of the most powerful elements of the conservative movement are all Catholic. Many converts, from the Supreme Court and think tanks to media and social groups. They must be attracted to the systematic thought and severely backwards gender relations and must be totally unaware of Christian democracy. That's the part that Mike left out. Those are all important points to make. And Hinderaker ends he says, I think how most liberals think, the narrow-mindedness, the ignorance, the condescension, the arrogance, there are still some Catholic Democrats, but frankly, I'm not sure why. So that's John Hinderaker in Powerline blog. Now, we need to move on because I've made this point several times. I want to make sure I make it again. Remember when Jay Johnson recently said this? Cut four.
The nature of cyber threats has evolved since 2002, since 2003. And so I do that we should carefully consider whether our election system, our election process, is critical infrastructure.
All right, I'm going to stop him right now. There, you have to understand that if they declare our election process critical infrastructure, Homeland Security will take it over. All right, so he said that a few months ago, and I told you about that at the time, that I think that's what they're laying the groundwork for. So Kevin Cork gives his report last night. Let's listen.
Proportional. That's the word Obama administration officials are using to describe the potential U.S. response to Russia's hacking activities, said to include a trove of email leaks, including another nearly 1,200 today posted by the website WikiLeaks, targeting the American political system and, most notably, Hillary Clinton's campaign, Democratic Party leadership, and the Clinton State Department. Current Secretary of State John Kerry said the Russians should and ultimately will pay for what they've done, saying the U.S., quote, will and can respond in ways that we choose to at the time of our choice. Experts say that could include economic sanctions or other punitive actions designed to deter other bad actors from mimicking Moscow. White House officials today echoed the threat.
The kind of proportional response that the president would consider is not necessarily the kind of response that we would announce in advance.
It's not just a cyber war that Moscow is waging. Russian President Vladimir Putin and Foreign Secretary Sergei Lavrov are also engaged in a PR offensive, each downplaying the Kremlin's suspected role in interfering with the U.S. election.
There is nothing in the interest of Russia. Hysterics have been whipped up to distract the attention of the American people from the essence of what the hackers released.
Well, it's flattering, of course, to get this kind of attention for a regional power, as President Obama called us some time ago. It has nothing, you know, to be explained by the facts.
All right, I'm going to interrupt the clip because we're running out of time, but I have to tell you, it makes me laugh at myself. I never thought I'd ever believe the Russians. They're the best liars in the world, but we don't have any evidence that the Russians are hacking our system.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wild. Well, I'm the president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to Israel in March 9 through the 17th. We'll be going to the land of the Bible, the Holy Land. We'll be seeing so many places every day. The days are just full of things you've read about in the Bible. And one of the things that I enjoy about our trip is wearing people out. And we'll be wearing folks out during our trip of Israel, because I know that when folks pay to go to Israel, they want to see it all, and we'll be seeing it all, including Bethlehem, Jericho, Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, Nazareth, and much, much more. Won't you join us on this special tour of Israel in March? For more information, just call us and we'll send you a brochure at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, or go on the web at twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
American Family Radio is for your family.
Thanks to AFR, I got the courage to found a day school, which we are founded for the glory of God and for the health of the family. And we are in our fourth year now, and we have a lot of happy children and parents. And throughout the entire process of founding the school and hiring the faculty, getting the curriculum, finding the equipment, finding the place, recruiting families, everything, I have turned to AFR, and they have been amazing. Everyone from Alex McFarland and Brian Fisher, Sandy Rios, James Dobson, it's just all fantastic. Keep up the good work. You're an inspiration to me daily. Thanks.
Your financial gift keeps your family equipped for the culture war. Join us for our three-day share-a-thon beginning October 18th. Listener-supported American Family Radio.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. Truett McConnell University is training students to love the Lord, love the Word, love the Church, and love the lost. Scripture is the foundation for everything they do. It's who they are, preparing students not just for a career, but to fulfill God's high calling on their lives. Truett McConnell University offers a wide array of bachelor's programs, some online, and they also have an outstanding Master of Arts in Theology. So if you'd like to schedule a visit to Truett's campus in the North Georgia Mountains, visit truett.edu. A grade school in Leon County, Florida, is in the headlines. They sent a Pledge of Allegiance waiver to moms and dads. The note basically excused kids from reciting the pledge. One parent scrawled a note on the waiver, sent it back to school. It read something like this. This is the dumbest thing I've ever read, and I am so ashamed. I reached out to the school district. They told me they were just following state law, a law that was put on the books not by left-wing Democrats, but by Republicans. Yes, Republicans. It's a bit of a shocker, folks, kind of like finding a hair on a biscuit. It won't be long before they start making the kids get a notary public before they can sing the national anthem. George Washington's probably looking down from heaven today, shaking his head and thinking to himself, I crossed the Delaware for this? I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
He was the UN Special Envoy to Haiti, and she was the Secretary of State.
We believe in Haiti's promise.
And together, the Clintons played prominent roles after the earthquake, as for-profit companies and aid organizations rushed in to be part of a $10 billion reconstruction program. Now, new emails between the State Department and the Clinton Foundation, obtained by Clinton's Republican opponents, appear to show that those considered FOB, friend of Bill, or using their initials, WJCHRC friends, got special attention from the State Department. Need you to flag when people are friends of WJC, wrote one State Department official to her counterpart at the Clinton Foundation in one of the emails provided to ABC News.
When you look at the record, people who have been contributors to the foundation or have been close with the Clintons who have benefited from Reconstruction in Haiti.
The State Department says its only goal was trying to figure out who could best get aid to quake victims as soon as possible. But even before last week's hurricane, we found tens of thousands of people still living in what was supposed to have been temporary shelter.
Do you think you'll have a permanent home at some point?
No.
And while the emails do not indicate who did or did not get a contract in Haiti, they do show what happened to those without a connection to the Clintons. Is this FOB,
Ask the State Department official of the foundation. If not, they should go to a public website clearinghouse. The foundation told ABC News no special treatment was expected or given in Haiti, or anywhere, says the president.
Nothing was ever done for anybody because they were a contributor to the foundation. Nothing.
All right, that's Brian Ross of ABC, which is pretty amazing because, as we said, the press in general has not been covering all of these emails that are coming out about the Clinton Foundation and its connection with the State Department. Let me read you part of this ABC report that you're not going to hear from Brian Ross. Not that he just couldn't say everything. This is amazing. Multiple Clinton Foundation donors benefited or were financially invested in this project in Haiti. Clinton Foundation donors surfaced in many facets of the project. The modern industrial park with wide, clear roads connecting rows of low-slung warehouses would be paid for by the Inter-American Development Bank, which provided $256.8 million in grants to support construction. The bank has donated $1 to $5 million to the Clinton Foundation. Large American retailers, including Walmart and Gap, have served as buyers for the clothing shipped from Haiti to the U.S. with special U.S. tax breaks. Walmart has given $1 to $5 million and Gap $100,000 to $250,000 to the Clinton Foundation. And in 2012, SAEA, the Korean garment company that was recruited to become the anchor tenant of this park the Clinton Foundation built, gave $50,000 to $100,000 to the Clinton Foundation. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is just the beginning of the story. But I could read this report far better to go to Haiti and talk to someone who knows. My guest is Bernard Sendurik. He is the former Haitian Senate President, and he joins us from Haiti this morning. Good morning, Mr. Sendurik. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Sandy, and Bernard Sendurik is my name. I'm sorry you pronounced it, but yes, I'm a live witness of what the Clinton have done in Haiti. It is unbelievable, and it is a disgrace to the American people that have given so much, that are so generous and have given so much for relief aid to Haiti. The money was actually stolen by the Clinton and their cronies.
You know, Bernard, before I ask you any questions, let me just remind people that you have been hit, your country, your little island, by two devastating earthquakes just so recently. 2010 was the first one, killed over 200,000 people. That's when Americans really did our hearts and our money poured into the island to try to help the people of Haiti, and rightfully so. And then most recently, with Hurricane Matthew, you've also suffered a devastating loss. And so first, let me just tell you that we are aggrieved that you should be suffering so much, and we want our help to you to be real. So it's one thing to say this, Bernard, but how do you know what you just said? How do you know that it was wasted and that there's been corruption?
Because nothing was done in Haiti. Absolutely nothing was done in Haiti. We know for a fact that $14.3 billion was given to the Clinton Foundation through not only U.S. taxpayers' money, but money came worldwide to the Clinton Foundation. Clinton was put in charge of the reconstruction in Haiti by President Obama and also by Ban Ki-moon, who gave him clearance, you know, and Ban Ki-moon is the head of the United Nations, give him clearance, actually, and give him, name him, actually, why not say, governor of the island of Haiti. And, Clinton has been a power broker in Haiti since 1994 when he invaded Haiti unnecessarily to restore democracy, quote, unquote. He didn't restore democracy. It was, you know, something that he wanted to have power in Haiti, even after and beyond his presidency. Now, in 2010, when the earthquake hit Haiti, not 200,000 people, but 315,000 people were killed in Haiti by the earthquake. Clinton was in charge of the reconstruction. He gave the contract to his cronies, who have done absolutely nothing but built a sweatshop in the northern part of Haiti, in the town of Caracol, next to a gold mine that, against the Haitian constitution, was given to Hillary's brother, Anthony Rodham, The gold mine is worth $200 billion, and this is what the Clinton have done in Haiti, is pay for play.
Wow.
I can go, you know, for hours just telling you about what they have done in Haiti on the rice, in this complete destruction of the rice production in Haiti because Bill Clinton and his friends were importing rice from Arkansas. Telephone company in Haiti was destroyed by Clinton and replaced by first Fusion International, and then now it's Digicel, a friend of Bill Clinton, Dennis O'Brien, who in 2014 only made himself, Dennis O'Brien, $265 million in dividend and gave to the foundation, to the Clinton Foundation, close to $30 million. You know, this is the kind of things that Bill Clinton and his cronies have been doing in Haiti. They have the gold mine. They have a sweatshop. They received $14.3 billion for the 2010 relief aid. Nothing, absolutely nothing, Sandy, has been done in Haiti. And now we had Matthew a week ago, who the body count is going now over 1,000. Millions of people have house destroyed. The money Bill Clinton received in 2010 when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State could have been used to build infrastructure in Haiti and prevent what happened in Haiti last week. So all those people, and there is an epidemic of cholera going on right now that are killing about 10,000 people a month. It is unbelievable. They don't have clean water. They don't have food. They don't have shelter. This is really a disgrace, not only to the American people, but to the world. And the Clinton are nothing else but common thieves. And they should be in jail, not running for the presidency of the United States. I am enraged.
I can understand. I'm actually stunned. Bernard, I'm stunned because I actually had no idea it was as bad as you're describing. And let me go back because you have said so many things here. And let me make sure that I understood what you just told us. You said $14.3 billion poured into the Clinton Foundation on behalf of Haiti, and that Bill Clinton was supposed, he was designated the person in charge of the relief effort. And so he basically monitored everything that happened down there. And instead of it going to Haiti, it went to the foundation. They did not build infrastructure. He gave contracts, which were, by the way, I could say to Americans, federal dollars. He made sure that those contracts, and with the leaks now that we see from WikiLeaks, show us that the State Department colluded with the Clinton Foundation to make sure that those contracts, those multi-million dollar contracts, went to friends of the Clintons, who then did whatever they did, but you say there's no evidence that they did much of all. I know that there was a factory there, you mentioned it, built next to that gold mine. And my understanding, Bernard, is that Cheryl Mills, who is the assistant to Hillary Clinton, at least was at the time at the State Department, has a vested interest in that factory, and that contract was awarded to a Korean company who are donors to the Clinton Foundation, and Cheryl Mills is very vested herself in that. What do you know about that, Bernard?
Cheryl Mills made about 20 tweets to Haiti. The FBI had to give her immunity to get her laptop so they would know exactly what was going on down there. And Sandy, let me tell you something. This is much more than that. The man that Bill Clinton returned to Haiti as president in 1994 using $5 billion in U.S. taxpayers' money, 23,000 U.S. soldiers, exported from Haiti after he was returned to power more drugs than Manuel Antonio Noriega, and yet he is immune for prosecution because the money of the drug was used to pay these lobbyists in Washington and found a way all the way to the White House. This is a huge scandal that if the American people really know about it, if they give me enough time to explain it to the American people, these people should be in jail, not running for president. I mean, the DEA has all the proof. When we talk about the head of the FBI who betrayed the American people, the DEA has done worse. And perhaps it was because of political pressure. But they have all the evidence that the man that Clinton returned to power in Haiti in 1994 was the biggest drug dealer, trafficker, that exported more drugs to the United States than Manuel Antonio Noriega, who was arrested by the DEA after the invasion of Panama. This is a huge scandal, Sadie. And this is so huge that if the American people should know about it, and people that have no contact at all with politics and have no knowledge about what's going on in foreign countries, this is a huge scandal. It goes beyond what I'm saying. This is the tip of the iceberg. And personally, I'm enraged because Bill Clinton in 1994, when he invaded Haiti, prior to the invasion, in August of 1994, I had a four-hour conversation with Bill Richardson, his right-hand man at the time who was in the Congress. I told Bill Richardson, do not invade Haiti. You do not understand Haiti. You occupied Haiti from 1915 to 1934. You left nothing behind. Don't do it. President Reagan, who was a very strong president, he sent to Haiti in 1986 one airplane to pick up Duvalier and fly him out of the country. I said, you can do the same thing with the generals. You don't have to invade Haiti. But for Bill Clinton, it was a way to make sure that he controls the power, the political power in Haiti, so he could steal the country blind. This is outrageous. This is a scandal that is beyond comprehension, what has been going on in Haiti. Sadie, believe me, I am from Haiti, and I was actually almost raised, I could say, in the United States. I was actually schooled in the United States, and I learned so many good things from this country. I wanted to go back to my home and do for my home what I have seen in this country, the free enterprise system. I mean, everything, my dream was destroyed by Clinton when he invaded Haiti in 1994. He offered me money, making me the richest man in Haiti. I said, I'm not for sale. I have principle. And this is this man that actually his wife is running now for president of the United States. This is a complete disgrace for the United States. And the American people should know what the Clinton have done, not only in Haiti, but in other places, but especially in Haiti, where they have used pay for play, and they have enriched their friends and themselves on the poorest people of this hemisphere. Now, Haiti right now, the people are hungry, sick, they have no shelter, and Bill Clinton is running around with billions of dollars in his pocket. This is unfair.
It's really unconscionable, Bernard. I mean, honestly, my heart is just breaking as you talk. Let me ask you, do people in Haiti know? Is this common knowledge, or is this because you have been a political leader, you know about this?
It is common knowledge in Haiti that, you know, the money that was given to them was stolen by Bill Clinton. That they know. I'm in contact with Haiti all the time. We're trying to do our best to reconstruct Haiti. But, you know, no money should be given to the Clintons. Or Ban Ki-moon, who is the head of the United Nations, who is a crony of the Clinton. When you're talking about the SAEA, that South Korean company who is running the Caracol project for them.
Bernard,
okay,
when they promised
60,000 jobs and only have 5,000 people working there at 60 cents an hour.
Can you stay with me just one more segment?
Yes.
Okay, hold on, and let's come back to that so that you can say it again and we can actually absorb all that you are trying to tell us. My guest is Bernard Sendelrique. I hope I got that right this time. From Haiti. He's the former Haitian Senate president. And honestly, the news he's bringing is shocking. We will put the ABC news report on our Facebook page, which only tells, honestly, a part of what he is reporting from Haiti. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Dan Celia of Financial Issues.
You know, there's probably never been
a more important time in our economy to be thinking about a charitable gift annuity. I hope you'll do that just to shore up, to firm up some more income, permanent income, income that you can count on for the rest of your life while you're doing the Lord's work. A charitable gift annuity has been something I've been talking about for 25 years. Finally, we're seeing even mainstream start to get on board with the merits of charitable gift annuities. I hope you'll consider it. You can call the AFA Foundation. Someone there will help you work through the details and find out whether you qualify for a charitable gift annuity.
Call and speak with a representative of the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Planned Parenthood clinics have become more like U-Pull auto part dealers than health clinics for women. It's a very clear illustration of what our culture demands right now, and that is the leadership of the church rolling up its sleeves, getting into our communities.
Advancing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. Washington Watch Daily with Tony Perkins, weekdays at 4 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Consider serving the Lord with friendships. It's an opportunity to reach out to the needy around the world. They're now taking applications to volunteer, and they need help in the areas of mechanics, maritime, including deck, engine, and steward departments, food service, warehousing, and office. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
American Family Radio is for your family.
I was in a really bad relationship, and my parents always told me that it wasn't good for me. And I ended up getting pregnant, and I hid the pregnancy for 4 months because my plan was to get an abortion. But through listening to AFR and how you always talk about the sanctity of life, on May 17th last year, I told my mom that I was pregnant, and after that, telling the truth, freedom came, and I realized that I didn't want to kill myself or my baby because it was a gift from God. I'm just so thankful for AFR, and I'm so thankful that I kept my baby, and he gave me new life.
Help us touch even more lives during our three-day share-a-thon starting October 18th. American Family Radio, 25 years on the battlefront for your family.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Last night, an American warship off of Yemen fired cruise missiles in retaliation for several previous missile attacks by Iranian-backed rebels aimed at another U.S. vessel operating in the area. It appears that we may have paid for both our missiles and those used by the Houthi insurgents. If so, it would be just the latest ominous repercussion of Barack Obama's disastrous nuclear deal with Iran. The Washington Free Beacon reports that lawmakers led by Senators Ted Cruz and Kelly Ayotte have raised the issue with the Pentagon, which was blindsided by Team Obama's decision to give the Iranians $1.7 billion in cash. The legislators want to know whether some of that ransom money has predictably fueled the mullah's increasingly well-armed and aggressive behavior towards American naval forces and personnel. Either way, worse will be forthcoming from Obama's Iran legacy. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. And I hear clips like from that listener that called in just a few minutes ago, that testimony of that girl. And when I do interviews like the one we're in the middle of with our guest, Bernard Senderick, I remember very powerfully, why it is I'm doing what I'm doing. There are so many things at stake, and there are so many battles to fight. And I'm hoping that you are hearing the call to arms, each and every one of you, this morning in your own way. Let me get personal just for a second. If you are living in Grand Rapids or near there, Frank Gaffney and I will be coming up there to speak on October the 22nd. We'll be at Calvin College at, I think it's Prince Conference Center. And so, again, it's October the 22nd in Grand Rapids. If you would like to come, you can go to AmericanDecency.org, AmericanDecency.org, and make your reservations, let them know you'd like to come. I don't think there's any cost, but you just have to kind of let them know, and it'll give you more information. And for those of you down in Houston, I will be at the Stand for Truth rally October 28th and 29th, Stand for Truth. And if you want to know more about that, because we'd love to have you come, I'll tell you more about it as I have more time. Stand for Truth. Stand the letter, or the number, yeah, the letter, standfortruth.com. You can go and find out information about it. If you just joined us, this is an amazing conversation we're having with the former Haitian Senate president. And as I said at the top of the show today, as we get bogged down by tabloid reports, which are not good, none of them, no one is saying that doesn't matter, but it doesn't matter like these things matter, like the deaths of two policemen reported at the top of the show, like the assaults that we're seeing. I saw a figure of the number, I think it's 60,000 American women have been assaulted by illegal immigrants over this. I don't know what the timeline was because I read it quickly. But we have serious problems, and we have to make some very serious, hard decisions, and we cannot get sidetracked on tabloid issues, however important they might be. I want to come back to this. ABC, actually, surprisingly to me, is reporting about the absolute rape of Haiti by the Clinton Foundation, by Bill Clinton, another kind of rape, I guess you could say, and his wife Hillary. Hillary's Secretary of State. Bill Clinton is running the Clinton Foundation. The Clinton Foundation received $14.3 billion to help the people of Haiti, 315,000 of whom who were killed in the earthquake of 2010. 1,000 of them killed most recently in this Hurricane Matthew. And yet, hardly any of it, arguably, hardly any of it was actually sent to Haiti to help. The only things that actually went to Haiti were things that helped people that were friends of Bill and Hillary Clinton. We have the email now from WikiLeaks to show us that the contracts and all the federal dollars and all the money that was spent was sent. It was a cash cow for friends of Bill and Hillary Clinton. It was a cash cow for people that donated to their foundation. It's just shocking. And so let me just, for a second, go back to part two of this report with Brian Ross of ABC before I go back to our guest. Let's listen.
One of the biggest beneficiaries of the Clinton reconstruction efforts in Haiti was a Korean garment company recruited to this new industrial park, built at a cost of some $400 million, including almost $175 million in U.S. taxpayer money. The company called Seiya, one of the world's largest garment manufacturers, now has some 9,000 workers in Haiti and proudly shows off the two local schools it built nearby. But the company was selected despite a track record of worker abuse and sexual harassment in Guatemala. Company officials told us those were isolated instances.
We've seen the records. This company has a history of that.
That is not something he is aware of.
I want to thank Chairman Kim and Seiya for many things.
Seiya later became a Clinton Foundation donor, and its chairman has since helped finance a private business for top Clinton aide Cheryl Mills, who was instrumental in bringing the company to Haiti. Even as the Clintons have been praised for their efforts in an incredibly difficult place to operate, the new emails provide a rare glimpse of the cozy connection between Hillary Clinton's State Department and Bill Clinton's foundation. Mr. Clinton declined to comment for our report, but in a recent appearance, he talked about the issue.
I'm sure we made a few mistakes, but way, way more good than harm was done.
Brian Ross, ABC News, New York.
All right, well, way, way more good was done, but not Bernard Sandarik would not agree with that. Former Haitian Senate President has joined us this morning. Mr. Sandarik, your response to that comment?
Definitely more harm was done than good. Bill Clinton is a common thief. This is a man who is an ex-president of the United States. He received a nice pension from the United States government by taxpayers, paid by taxpayers. His wife is a former secretary and senator. I'm sure she has a good pension from both the Senate and the Department of State. These people are comfortable people that have everything that, you know, life can provide. Yet, they go to a country like Haiti, the poorest country of the hemisphere, and they rip the people of Haiti of $14.3 billion. And this is not all, because they have actually installed in Haiti a pay-for-play, a political action that, you know, they control the power in Haiti. Or no contract in Haiti is given to anyone if you are not a friend of Bill Clinton. It's called FOB, friend of Clinton. They receive all the contracts in Haiti. And nothing, absolutely nothing, Haiti is worse off today than it was when Bill Clinton invaded Haiti in 1994, or Bill Clinton took $14.3 billion, in aids going to Haiti in 2010. And now he's saying more good was done than harm. No, more harm was done than good. Actually, the Clinton Foundation has devastated Haiti more than the earthquake and Matthew put together. Because in a way, if we had real good, you know, companies or organizations that use that money wisely in Haiti, the country would not be where it is today. And Bill Clinton will have on his conscience, Bill and Hillary Clinton will have in their conscience, you know, every death that happened in Haiti since 1994. It's unbelievable what those people have done.
Bernard, let me...
And more than that, the cellular company of Haiti, Bill Clinton gave it to his friend, Dennis O'Brien, who has made millions in Haiti in 2014 only, Sandy. This man, Dennis O'Brien, took $265 million out of Haiti, you know, in dividends, you know, because he has the only cellular company in Haiti. He bought up the people that had other companies in Haiti. He has given so much money to the Clinton Foundation in 2014 only, three contracts for speaking engagement that worth millions of dollars, plus $30 million directly to the Clinton Foundation. And more than that, when building Digicel in Haiti, that's the name of the company, that's the name of the cellular company, Digicel, he used U.S. taxpayers' money from USAID with the help of Bill Clinton. This is a scandal beyond belief.
It is a scandal
and
beyond...
If the people in the United States do not watch out, we will have this lady as president of the United States. This woman, she's not a lady, this woman president of the United States, and she will destroy this country. She will have open borders. Illegals will flow in this country. This is not going to be God's country anymore. And this is what we were taught. You know, this country was founded on the principle of God.
Bernard,
unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. You mentioned earlier, and I want to repeat this, you said that the Clintons actually gave the rights to the gold mine to Hugh Rodham, who is Hillary Rodham Clinton's brother. You know, it's funny
Anthony Rodham. Hugh Rodham is another thing also. He was involved in a whole bunch of things that I can mention. But the gold mine is to Anthony Rodham, the brother of Hillary Clinton.
Yes, and it's interesting you should mention that, because I just read, and again, just a headline, I didn't read the whole report, but his offices here in D.C. have been mysteriously shut down, the agency, something related to him, just in the last few days, which I think is very interesting. So this may be a story that we'll be hearing more about. And then the story about the drug dealing reminds me very much, I don't know, you said that you grew up in the United States. You may remember that when the Clintons when he was governor of Arkansas, there were so many stories about drug running in Arkansas, and sort of people kind of poo-pooed that at the time. And your story here reminds me very much of the stories that we heard back then. Explain again, please say again, your allegations about the drug running in Haiti.
Okay, Sandy, I'm going to divulge something today that I have never divulged before. Okay, when I was in the Senate in Haiti, and especially president of the Senate in Haiti, DEA came to me, and U.S. Customs also came to me and asked me for my help, because Haiti was the transit point between Colombia and the United States. And 15% of the drugs coming to the United States were transiting through Haiti. Okay, they came to me, they asked me for help. That's how I know all those things. Okay, so the man that actually Bill Clinton returned to power in Haiti, I'm saying Jean-Bertrand Aristide, the man he returned to power was the biggest drug dealer in Haiti, exporting drugs to the United States, killing American people in the street, killing American children in the street. Now, the DEA has arrested a lot of people that they brought to the United States that have testified against Mr. Aristide. But nothing was done. They have enough evidence to actually indict Aristide. But Aristide has been protected by the Clinton because now you, Wordham, okay, was very involved in all those transactions. Millions of dollars used by Aristide to pay his lobbyists in Washington, D.C., okay, were drunk money. Because Haiti is the poorest country of the hemisphere. Yes, Aristide was using billions of dollars to protect himself and actually while exporting drugs to the United States. Now, how does the American people feel about having a president? Because Aristide said that they are indicted. If you have he dare them, he's thumbing his nose at them. He said, the day I'm indicted, you know, I will reveal everything and all the money I have given the Clintons. This is powerful, Sandy. The DEA has all the evidence against Aristide, yet they failed the American people because we would know much more if using all the evidence they have against Aristide. They indict him and let him talk to the, you know, divulge everything that he knows about the Clinton.
Mr. Sandarik,
this is beyond belief.
It is beyond belief. Now, I want to ask you, do you fear for your life in any way?
No, myself, I don't care. Myself, I don't care. Whatever happened to me, I put my life in under God's protection. God will protect me. Because let me tell you something, Sandy. As a sitting senator, you know, elected by the people of Haiti, in 1994, when Bill Clinton invaded Haiti, President Balaguer of the Dominican Republic called me, had me come over to the Dominican Republic and said, Bernard, do not stay there. If Bill Clinton returns, I receive the power because you will be killed. One of my best friends, Mireille Duvaucher-Bertin, was killed. And the Americans knew about it because she was against also the invasion of Haiti by Bill Clinton. She was murdered, 28 bullets, young woman. You know, she was in her early 30s, 4 children, and she was pregnant at the time. Unbelievable. And Bill Clinton blocked the FBI investigation of her murder. He blocked it, just like he blocked the DEA, just like he's blocking right now the Justice Department. These people, you know, are destroying not only Haiti, but the United States.
I don't want the clock to interrupt you, but this has been powerful, and you have awakened a lot of people, and I promise you, we're going to get this word out on your behalf. Former Haitian Senate President Bernard Sandarik, and our prayers will be with you, sir, and we appreciate you pouring your heart out to us this morning, and I hope that we can talk to you again soon. God bless you, and God keep and protect, in spite of all this corruption, the good people of Haiti. This is Sandy Rios.
Thank you. It was a very informative session this morning.
Thank you. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.